And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Tuesday, November 14th, 2017, getting into the week here. We have got a lot of stuff to talk about today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, twiddling the dials, keeping us out of trouble, ready to answer the phone when you call on in. Quick little program note, tomorrow in our third hour, we're going to be talking with Hal Shurtleff, who is the founder of Camp Constitution, and we're going to be talking about Agenda 21 and Common Core and a bunch of other stuff. He's a fellow New Hampshireman, and I'm certainly looking forward to that one. Thursday, we're going to be talking with comedian Alan Parks, who cured his own cancer with cannabis oil. Not the intoxicating part of it, but the other medicinal part of it. And we're getting him on there because the FDA is out there saying, oh, of course, cannabis has no effect on cancer. You want to go get the radiation, and you want to get the chemotherapy, because those are approved by the government, and they're hideously expensive. So stay away from that cannabis stuff here. Obviously, a big news story right now. There's been, unfortunately, another mass shooting up in California, in Tehama County, near an elementary school. The reports were really chaotic coming on out. Originally, it said school shooting. No, it wasn't actually a school shooting. At one point, they were reporting two children were dead. Now, that's been pulled on back. But basically, they're saying that this shooter just went on a rampage in at least seven different locations. It's tailor-made for the gun grabbers. He had large-capacity magazines and a semi-automatic rifle. And so apparently the police shot and killed this guy, so we don't know what set him off, whether he was on prescription antidepressants or if he was somebody's patsy in yet another staged event to push the gun grabber agenda. Because have you noticed, ever since the gun grabbers have regrouped and come back with, you know, we're getting all these mass shootings just when they need them. And so we've got another one. And again, I'm suspicious that these mass shootings always seem to happen just exactly when the gun grabbers need them. And in this case, they didn't have a law-abiding gun owner stop the shooter like they did in Texas, which was a huge embarrassment. So they're all out there and saying, see, we've got to take guns away from everybody. I don't think that's going to happen here. But they're out there pushing. The other big news, of course, is that Attorney General Jeff Sessions has been testifying before the House Judiciary Committee. And it's almost fun to watch. Where you can see he's flustered and he's hemming and hawing. And some of the high points coming on out of there was that he got caught in several statements that he made during his first testimony under oath, which turned out to be lies. And Sessions is saying, well, they weren't really lies, I just didn't remember. And, of course, that's sort of always a signal something's being hidden. I have no recollection, I don't remember, I didn't remember at the time, gee whiz golly. But the story keeps changing here. Something else Sessions said that should be a red warning flag for everybody: there's not enough evidence to support a special counsel for Hillary. Really? Well, there was no evidence to support a special counsel for Trump, even though former FBI Director James Comey listed the Title 18 felony violations Hillary committed. Why isn't there a special counsel for her? And then he went on to say that Jeff Sessions says he has no reason to believe that the accusers of Judge Roy Moore are lying, even though one of them was outed for being attempted bribery of $1,000. And there's more about that a little bit later on here. So basically, last night, the story was that Jeff Sessions had directed prosecutors to evaluate certain issues involving Uranium One and Clinton, leaving the door open on a special counsel. And everybody got excited. Oh, finally, the Department of Justice is moving on Hillary Clinton. No, he was trying to save his face before today's hearings, because he knew he was going to be grilled. Why aren't you looking at Hillary Clinton? And he was asked that, and he said, I don't see enough evidence to investigate Hillary Clinton. So that story about he was directing prosecutors to look at Uranium One, that was a cover your rear end kind of moment. And as long as Sessions is attorney general, Hillary Clinton is safe, which is a note to those of you who are monitoring this show on behalf of Donald Trump. He better get his act in gear on Hillary, or he will be a one-term president. We're already hearing now Joe Biden is thinking about running against him in 2020. All right, let's go ahead and take a phone call from Clint in Las Vegas. Aloha, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, it's let's see. I think Trey Gowdy found a dead horse head in his bed, along with Donna Brazile, and now apparently Jeff Sessions. they're going to run out of horses.
Well, what they need to do is start using the rear end of the horse as well. That way they get twice as many people with one horse.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, it's not like there isn't an absence of horses' rear ends in Washington, D.C., right?
Yeah, but even if they did, they would get one of their cronies in there. The ruling elite are not going to allow this ever to happen. A Bush or a Clinton go to jail. And because if they did, that would mean all the underlings, they're not safe no more, and it would all fall apart on them.
Well, they're not safe anyway. Look at Seth Rich. Yeah, I mean, They're not safe anyway. No, if it really starts to come apart, if this stuff really starts to come on out, whether it's Uranium One or the email server or any of this stuff, the Bushes and the Clintons will not go to jail. They'll bug out. They'll leave the country. The Bushes have already bought a huge chunk of land in South America, almost big enough to be its own country. And I'm sure the Clintons have got a little pied-à-terre already set up in some country without extradition.
Yeah, but still, that means that Hillary doesn't get the white. I think the best we can hope for is keep Hillary out of the White House, kill him politically. But I think when Donald Trump made that promise, I don't think he knew what was involved. Hey, who's to say? I mean, this thing is it is unraveling on him. You know, people are asking questions, I was totally in the dark about the Clintons and the Bushes 20 years ago. That's not true no more.
And, that's true for the vast majority of Americans. And while the Bushes and Clintons will probably never see a day in court, politics is perception. And the public perception is that there is a dark, rotted cancer at the middle of our government that's tangled up with CIA gun and drug running, the Bushes, the Clintons, corruption, selling out the country to foreign interests.
False flag operations.
Yes.
The deep state, that's common. I mean, I'm hearing this stuff on TV now. I'm from Las Vegas, and, you know, we have never seen, and we don't have 1 ounce of proof, video evidence. Even if they show it now, they might as well show Forrest Gump riding on the elevator walking down the hallway. But Tucker Carlson's doing the best work on this. You know, they finally released a video, but it was from a private company, you know, people running away, and the government never even asked for it. And somebody died right there on the film, you know?
Yes.
You know, it's like you said, he had a former Secret Service guy on there, and he's going, you know, this is evidence. I mean, it doesn't show anybody shooting, but somebody's dying right there. If this isn't evidence, I don't know what is. And they don't seem the least bit concerned about it.
They've got the official story, and that's all that they've got. Anyway, listen, Clint, I don't want to get back into the Mandalay Bay shooting again because, yeah, false flag, obvious. Let's move on here. So thank you for the phone call, and we're going to do a shout-out to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining the network, and we're going to switch on over to Don in Iowa. Don, aloha. Welcome to the show. What is on your mind?
Hello, Mark. Yes, this Sessions, Jeff Sessions. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're on the air.
Jeff Sessions, bad news. I'm reading a quote here. He said, the Department of Justice can never be used to retaliate politically against opponents. Well, that's what they're doing right now. They're retaliating against Trump.
That's exactly right. I mean, the man is an absolute hypocrite. And you could look at his face. You could look at his face and see that he was flustered and nervous. And you know, he came across as somebody who was just lying through his teeth, even when he was saying, "I'm not lying. I just didn't remember."
He's in over his head. He was okay when he was just a senator from what state was he from? Alabama.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, so he was okay when he was just a senator from a small Southern state, and he just came up there, and he was a Southern gentleman and was polite to everybody and everything. But now, I mean, he can't handle the job he's in now.
It's not that he can't handle the job. It's not that he can't handle the job. He has been told, you know, to go on protecting Hillary Clinton. This is our second attorney general in a row that's trying to protect that narcocracy. It's our second FBI director in a row trying to protect that narcocracy. That's what they're all protecting, that CIA gun and drug running operation and all the money that's pouring on in from cocaine, from South America, from opium pouring in from Afghanistan, and they're all dirty with it. And that's why they're all united to try and protect that little scam, because if that falls apart, it isn't just the loss of all that money pouring into their pockets. You're looking at serious jail time. And the possible collapse of the entire federal government by an American people who are angry over the so-called war on drugs, that it turns out to be the war on the competition's drugs.
He's making a lot of enemies, Sessions, from all sides. That's why he looks flustered. He is flustered. He should just go ahead and resign and say, hell with it, go fishing or something. I'll let you go.
I think at this point Trump should fire him, and I know the media is going to say, oh, he's firing Sessions to protect himself from the Robert Mueller investigation. But we need an attorney general that's going to do the job of prosecuting the crimes no matter which direction they go. I still want Larry Klayman in there, either as attorney general or as a special counsel, because I'm really sick and tired of this government politicking itself and protecting itself from the consequences of its own actions, which have caused incredible harm to the American people, incredible harm to our economy, all the people who've been caught up in all these drugs and turned into addicts, all to make these people rich. And there's nothing new with governments being involved in drug dealing and drug running. Britain actually fought a war with China over Britain's supposed right to sell opium to the Chinese people, which led to that stereotypical opium den and ultimately led to the Boxer Rebellion. You know, the Skull and Bones fraternity that has created so many of these leaders of our nation, that was originally founded with opium money. So, I mean, that contraband, that politics of contraband, is really what's driving the core of the U.S. federal government. And they're starting to understand the American people are picking up on it. And they're very scared, and they're circling the wagons. And Sessions out there saying, well, I don't remember this and I don't remember that, but by golly, there certainly isn't enough evidence to investigate Hillary Clinton. And that is absurd. There is more than enough evidence to investigate, charge, try, and convict Hillary Clinton. The FBI has the list of all the Title 18 violations that she has committed. They've got the evidence. Let's go ahead and prosecute under Title 18. But Washington, D.C. swamp is circling the wagons. They've got to protect that narcocracy, because if that scandal comes on out, it is the end of the party for the U.S. government. All right, let's see. We're going to go ahead and take a call from Dustin in New Jersey. Aloha, welcome to the show. What's on your mind? I mean, he dropped off? Okay, all right. We're going to... Problems with the phone systems here today. let's see. Now then, getting on back to the news here. Donald Trump Jr. has now released all of his direct message exchanges with the WikiLeaks Twitter account during the entire 2016 presidential election, and it documents that he had no idea about the Podesta email leak before it came on out. And again, it undermines this whole claim that there was collusion going on. Now, normally we're all supposed to operate under this idea that we are presumed innocent until guilt is proven. But in politics, it's the reverse. Trump is accused of collusion. He must be guilty. It's up to him to prove his innocent. And the same thing with Donald Trump Jr. Oh, you have to prove that you're innocent. That's the code Napoleon. That's not the way this country is supposed to work. And it is rather amazing that we're seeing all these accusations against Roy Moore and Donald Trump and Donald Trump Jr. with virtually no evidence behind it, while Hillary and her people, with the mountain of evidence, not to mention dead bodies, piled up around their feet, continue to be protected by this criminal government. All right, it looks like Dustin in New Jersey has come on back here. So, Dustin, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
I wish they'd get the infrastructure fixed. My God, Mike.
Yes. It's horrible. It is horrible.
Mike, I said this before, and I said, I think this country's finished, Mike. Like, Jeff Sessions, the guy's crap. They're crap. Doing this dog and pony show. I couldn't even watch this thing. I switched into it. I'm like, what a joke this whole thing is. And then, you know, they put on that, register as a foreign agent on RT. I mean, that's a slap in the face to, like, freedom of speech. Like, they don't like, you know, they don't like what RT puts out because it's the truth. You know?
Yeah, that's it. There's a war on the truth. There's a war on the truth. We've got basically what it comes down to. Forget about Republican versus Democrat or any of this other false dichotomies. What it is the drug cartel at the heart of our government is at war with everybody else who's trying to expose them.
Yeah, I mean, if Donald Trump, when he comes back home, I mean, all he needs to do is go, "You're fired," to everybody. Like, he has the power to do that. And
yes,
it doesn't matter if they don't like it or not, because they already painted him, you know, the way they want. You know what I mean? So there's nothing he can do or not do that will appease these people. So, hey, Trump, if you want a clean house, call me. And if I wake up with a horse's head in my bed, I'll love it as a pet. Because, you know, it's just a joke anymore. Mikey, how long can we continue this crap to go on? You know, like this whole thing, nothing's getting done in this country. You know?
No,
the world's moving away.
Yeah, the world is turning away from the United States as a global leader. They're certainly afraid of our war machine, but even less and less, as it turns out, our war machine is more bark than actual bite. And it does feel like this nation is coming to some kind of a conclusion. And again, I think our best option is a Soviet Union-style collapse of that central federal government, which is why I have been discouraging all this talk about violent uprising and revolution in the streets. I mean, we'll leave that sort of stuff to Antifa and Black Lives Matter. But if we just wait, it's obviously coming apart. They're not going to be able to hold this economy together much longer. They can't keep on inflating the debt away without destroying what's left of international demand for the U.S. dollar. So they're in a real corner on that. And as all this stuff continues to come on out, it doesn't matter if the government officially says they're all innocent. Nobody believes it anymore. Politics is perception. And the perception by the American people is that the Clintons are guilty. The Bushes are guilty. There's a lot of very bad things going on inside the federal government. We're being lied to all the time. And a government that is dealing with a credibility crisis of that magnitude simply cannot function, and it cannot survive.
And can you imagine three more years of this? Like I said, the world's moving away. They're building stuff. They're making deals. Turkey's shifting. I mean, people don't realize how much of a big deal, because just look on a map where Turkey's located. I mean, that's
epic,
Mike. Hey, Mike, I just want to say I'm glad Errol from the Netherlands called, because I feel sorry for him, because the Netherlands is such an effed up country. I mean, they're like Sweden now. You know, I mean, I really feel bad for him. And I just want to say rip to John from Barbados, because he was my friend. And, you know, he was your friend. And, you know, a lot of people loved him. And I'm glad Errol from the Netherlands called, because, you know, like, it's just when I hear somebody from the Netherlands, I like to hear people from Europe calling, because they're in pretty bad shape. I mean,
It's a mess over there.
Mike, did you hear about the teacher in Britain who called like a transgender boy or girl? You got to talk about that. I mean, this is insane. I mean, my head spun around like the Linda Blair on The Exorcist, Mike. I agree with you.
The student was biologically a girl but said, "I'm really a boy inside." But, I mean, here's the question. If it walks like a girl and talks like a girl and quacks like a girl, you know, how is somebody supposed to be able to read the mind to see what self-delusions they're living under? And it is really very ridiculous. And again, it's part of a system to get people so worried about what they're saying that they're not paying attention to what their leaders are doing. And that's really what it's all about. Dustin, I got to let you go. And I finally received my own copy of Donna Brazile's book, Hacks. And I've been skimming through it already. Looking for the juicy parts, and I get a strong sense that Donna Brazile did intend to write a very accurate portrayal of what was going on behind the scenes during Hillary's campaign. She's bought a lot into the idea that Russia was somehow involved in all of this, but it's clear she's not really sure. And I get a sense that she went along with Russia because that was the groupthink in the room. But again, she's trying to backpedal from a lot of the stuff. I have a feeling that she didn't realize what she wrote about how Hillary Clinton commandeered the Democratic National Committee was going to explode into such a scandal. So, but it is a good book, and it is a worthy read here. All right, let's grab a phone call. Kathleen in Paris, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. I was going to talk about RT.
Mm-hmm.
that I saw an interview today. I think it was on Crosstalk, and the guy on the panel said that he enjoyed coming on RT because, without an exception, on all the other like corporate news, that there was always a pre-interview, that they wanted to know what are you going to say and what is your attitude and how do you feel really, but that on RT that didn't happen, and he was always felt free to just say whatever he wanted to say.
Yes. I mean, that's how the corporate media works, is that, you know, they'll pre-interview you to make sure that you're in line with the official story, and if you fail to pass muster, then the interview just doesn't happen.
Yeah, I didn't realize that, and this guy said that RT does not do that.
Well, I mean, it is another indicator that Russia today is not as tightly controlled by anybody, let alone the Russian government, as is being claimed. Meanwhile, our corporate media is totally under the control of government and corporations here. Now, what's really interesting is they went back to a 1938 law created specifically to counter Nazi Germany to demand that Russia Today register as a foreign agent. But meanwhile, you've got AIPAC is still not required to register as a foreign agent. And for all this talk about Russia trying to influence last year's election, look at all the influence that Israel has over our politics, and nobody says anything about it. And it is a glaring double standard. It is glaring hypocrisy. Again, it's part of this Russophobia that we're all being sold on right now.
Yeah, well, I just thought I'd stick up for RT a bit there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're one of the best sources on the globe for finding out what's really going on, along with whatreallyhappened.com, of course. Plug, 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 plug. All right.
Yeah.
All right, Kathleen, thank you. All right, thank you very much. And we're going to do a couple of stories before we get back to the telephones here. And they focus on Joe Biden, who is already making noises that he is going to run against Donald Trump in 2020. Which I'm sure is going to be very, very angering to Hillary, because her promise not to run for the White House again notwithstanding, she certainly acts like somebody who's trying to rebuild some kind of support for another run at the White House. And even on Saturday Night Live, when they did their spoof about the Democratic Party, they were dropping hints of Hillary Clinton coming back in 2020. So Biden is out there, and he is already going public, and he's being very critical about how Hillary ran her campaign, how she didn't connect with the middle class. She was just out there playing to the fringe groups, to play the woman card and the race card and all the rest of it. And nobody really had an idea what kind of a platform she was really running on. And so now Biden is out there basically throwing Hillary under the bus. And Biden has also come on out and said that in the early campaign season for last year's election, that Barack Obama discouraged him from running for the U.S. president, saying that if he tried to do it, it would simply rock the boat. Because everybody had already decided this is going to be Hillary's time. We're going to go to the phones here. Steve in Texas, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Good day. Hey, you know, everyone needs to focus and concentrate on their senators and congressmen, okay? Phone calls are free. You can call into them and let them know what's going on. I've started a branch of people that call in daily to Robert Nichols and our congressmen. And the whole thing of the conversation is what we're doing is, you know, Hillary Clinton, her foundation, Uranium One, focus, focus, focus. And I'm having 10 people call in daily, both our congressmen and our senators. And out of those 10 people, we have another branch of other people. They're trying to get at least one or two to call in. This is how you get things changed.
Well, I think it's a good idea to call on in. I think it's a good idea to let the members of Congress know that they're not fooling us anymore and we know what's going on. But you need to understand from their point of view, if they go after Hillary, it means they're going to lose their job, if not their lives. And so they're not going to be pushing for any...
Get this. I'm tired about people worrying about their lives and their money. Everyone is. You know, we're out here, we're kind of rustling in the wind, and we're tired of it.
Well, I certainly hear that from a lot of people. But again, don't expect members of Congress to go up against that narcocracy because they're either scared of it or they're part of it. Like I said, be patient. It's going to tear itself apart. It's in the process of tearing itself apart right now. Thank you for the call, Steve. We're going to get on back to the news because we got a lot of stuff to cover here today. Now, apparently a judge has narrowed the scope of search warrants obtained by federal prosecutors to gather identifying information on an estimated 6,000 Facebook accounts linked to alleged organizers of the anti-Trump inauguration protests. And I think that this is probably a prudent thing to do. We don't want to have a witch hunt or a fishing expedition out there. Everybody has the right to protest until it goes violent. Then you have grounds to investigate and prosecute. But anybody who was out there protesting against Donald Trump peacefully, they are as protected by the First Amendment as anybody else. Now, then getting on over to the Fusion GPS case, the federal judge who's been assigned to what they're expecting will be a court case about this, turns out is close friends with Clinton campaign chair John Podesta. The two had once taught a course together at Georgetown Law School. And in fact, they've been teaching this course together since 1997. So once again, a conflict of interest. A crony is coming on in to save the day. I mean, if you look at that swamp, it is this incredibly incestuous body of people. Everybody knows everybody. Everybody's got everybody else's secret. Everybody else is going to protect everybody. And again, it goes back to Donald Trump's biggest single mistake on taking the White House. He wanted to be magnanimous and let a whole bunch of holdovers stay in all of these government departments and inside the White House staff itself. And he should have just cleaned them out. He was an outsider president. That's why the American people voted him in against overwhelming election fraud against him. And he should have brought in an outsider government, because there are people out here in the United States of America who are fully qualified to do the necessary jobs that it takes to run a government. And he should have done that. And again, my concern about Trump even going back to before he won the nomination was that he was going into D.C. politics as dangerously naive as Jimmy Carter did. And Carter got blindsided by that whole crashed helicopter thing in Iran. Now, Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton is out with another video, which we link to whatreallyhappened.com, and he's out there saying basically the left wants the ability to steal elections, and that's why they're pushing for illegal immigrants to come on in and open borders, and they're opposed to voter ID and all these other issues. And what was really amazing was this court decision, the consent decree, where apparently the Republicans have to have the permission of the Democratic Party to investigate allegations of Democratic election fraud. And I don't know how they managed to pull that one off, but they sure did. And it's insane. And we know there was massive election fraud last year. Some at least 1,100 documented cases that shifted outcomes. And I'm very upset that Donald Trump's Commission on Election Integrity doesn't seem to be doing any more than his commission on vaccine safety. And you'd think Donald Trump would come to understand that if the election system is not reformed and made honest and representative of the will of the American people, he's going to be a one-term president. That is just the reality. It's in his own best interest to clean up this election system. I mean, if you look at what they're doing to Judge Roy Moore, you'll realize the Democratic Dirty Tricks Squad is still out there. They're alive and well, and they're on overtime. Now, of course, the chair of the Democratic National Committee, Tom Perez, is out there promising there'll be no more rigging in the 2020 primary. Really, we did bad. We got caught. We promise we're going to be good from now on. I notice he doesn't make any promises about next year's midterm elections. And I'm sure that Judge Roy Moore would agree that this idea of dirty tricks, you know, is still very much around. The only way that we are going to know there's no more rigging in the 2020 elections is with an election system that makes rigging difficult, if not impossible, to carry out, and difficult, if not impossible, to keep concealed. That's what we need. And Trump has got to move on that, or again, he's a one-term president. Maybe that's what he wants. He's got one term as president. He gets to say he was president of the United States of America, and that's it. Now, speaking of Judge Roy Moore, as you know, the people who are out to get him, including the Washington Post, came up with these four young girls who claimed that they were assaulted, or at least propositioned inappropriately. And one of them turned out to be working for the Hillary and Biden campaigns, a Hillary supporter. So quick like a bunny, they came up with a fifth one who was a Trump supporter, who said, oh, yes, he did something to me somewhere. He trapped me in a car. And apparently there's been a new development because one of the so-called proofs that Moore had known one of these girls was in a yearbook. There was a signature in the yearbook. Well, and apparently this is Beverly Young Nelson. And apparently Thomas Wichter got an expert to take a look at the signature and found out it is a forgery. They forged the signature in the yearbook to use against Judge Roy Moore. So the Democrats are trying to steal that Senate seat with a smear attack. And of course, Roy Moore is suing the Washington Post, as well he should. And what's really amazing is how you have people who are even Republicans saying, oh, yeah, he should drop out. I guess he's not considered an insider. He's not part of the narcocracy. John McCain is out there saying, Roy Moore should just drop out the election now. Just quit and hand the Senate seat to the Democrat and all will be well. Which is kind of weird because back in 2008, McCain was outed for having an improper relationship, meaning an affair, with lobbyist Vicky Eisman. And so again, you know, let he who was without sin cast the first smear job. And let's be honest, behind all of it, you've got like Bill Clinton and how he was champion of the feminists, despite all the sexual assault allegations against him. But boy, they're not going to cut any slack for Roy Moore because he's a Republican. We have to get the Republicans out there. And I would be very cautious, you know, about Joe Biden running for president in 2020. He's got a past almost as bad as Bill Clinton's. And apparently a former Secret Service agent assigned to Vice President Joe Biden's residence claimed that the Secret Service had to protect female agents from him. And we just put this story up at What Really Happened, and the agent said they actually had to cancel the vice president's Christmas get-together because Biden would just grope all of the wives and girlfriends' rear ends. And they said it was just everybody. It was like Harvey Weinstein-level stuff. And apparently, in 2009, a Secret Service agent got suspended for a week for shoving Biden after Biden cupped the Secret Service agent's girlfriend's breast while the couple were taking a photo with him. And apparently the situation got so heated, others had to step in to prevent the agent from hitting the vice president. So again, I guess people in positions of power and wealth figure they can get away with this kind of stuff. It's part of the psychopathy, the sociopathy of those that seek these positions of incredible power and authority. Now, getting on over to the war zones, there's a lot going on, and without going into specific details, just to comment, there's a lot of military aircraft in obvious training exercises over the island of Oahu right now, rattling the windows. There's definitely a significant increase going on here. Now, as you know, there has been this bombshell report that confirmed the U.S. coalition struck a deal with ISIS in Syria, and helped some of these ISIS fighters escape from Raqqa. And even the Syrian government and Russia is saying that the U.S. actions in Syria were hindering efforts to get rid of ISIS. And it didn't work because ISIS is pretty much gone. Despite that, Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis told reporters the U.S. is preparing for a long-term military commitment in Syria as long as ISIS wants to fight. Well, ISIS is pretty much gone. What are they going to do? Say, oh, there's one ISIS over there. We're going to keep our bases. Now, Damascus is taking the position that an uninvited U.S. presence in Syria constitutes an act of aggression. And yes, it does. It's also a violation of the Geneva Accords. And what's going on here is the U.S. doesn't want to admit they have lost this one. They lost this war. They're never going to win it. They're going to settle for just not being having to say that they lost it. Oh, we're still in Syria. We're still fighting ISIS. There's a couple of them out there. We're still fighting this war. Same reason they're pouring more troops and supplies into Afghanistan. They can't win it. They just don't want to have to admit that they lost that one, no matter how much of other people's money and children's lives it's going to take to do. Now, meanwhile, a U.S. delegation is flying to Israel to discuss a Syria border deal. Now, as you know, Russia and the U.S. Agreed to a deconfliction zone in the southern part of Syria. And Israel is refusing to go along with it. They're saying they will still continue to strike into Syria if they feel the circumstances justify it. What Israel really wants is they want to keep that Golan Heights that they have been occupying all these years. They're already selling the oil and gas out from underneath it. They don't want to give it back. So that's Israel's goal here. Is they want to keep the Golan. That's going to be their deal. You know, we'll back off attacking Syria if Syria gives us the Golan. And I don't think Syria is going to go along with that. Now, interestingly enough, as you know, the UN is out there trying to propaganda launder the claim that Assad is gassing his own people in Syria. Oh, yes, it's always been Assad. It couldn't be anybody else, blah, blah, blah. We've been hearing the same nonsense for months on end. But interestingly enough, the State Department's travel warning for Syria, for Americans going to Syria, actually says al-Nusra, Tahrir al-Sham are using chemical weapons in Syria. So even though the official policy is it had to be Assad, the State Department is warning American travelers that, yes, the U.S.-backed groups have been and are using chemical weapons inside Syria. So we've got a government that where the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing here. They may pull it back and say, oh, yeah, it's perfectly safe. Go to Syria. We don't care if you get killed. Story coming out of South Front, which has been doing really good work at reporting what's going on the ground in Syria, is saying that Israel and Saudi Arabia are already setting the preconditions for a war with Hezbollah. And Hezbollah is being held up as the excuse. But from Israel's point of view, they still want that Litani River. They want all that fresh water to green up Israel. That was the goal the last time. And now they've got Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman is going along with them saying, yeah, we're going to have a war against Hezbollah. Saudi Arabia wants to assert itself as a regional power. And that means they're going to be taking on Iran. Now, there's a very good article over here in Zero Hedge about the ominous Russophobia in America. And it's an artificial construct. Everybody is blaming everything on Russia now. Losing socks in the dryer had to be Russia. Waxy yellow buildup had to be Russia. Tires flat on the car. Oh, Putin did that with his bear rifle. And it is an exact replay of the post-World War I Red Scare. And then all of a sudden we had to be friends with the Soviet Union during World War II to defeat Nazi Germany. And then after World War II, we went right back to demonizing them. Then you had, in 1938, the House Un-American Activities Committee witch hunts into alleged disloyalty and subversive activities. And there was a foreign nation trying to subvert the United States of America, but it wasn't the Soviet Union. 1960s, the House Committee on Internal Security. The McCarthy era in the 1950s. They blacklisted a lot of people out of Hollywood for being communist sympathizers. And what really happened is these were people who didn't want to go along with this idea that Hollywood be turned into a propaganda machine to demonize the Soviet Union, because after all, the Soviet Union had been our allies in World War II and helped defeat Nazi Germany and Japan. So why are all of a sudden we're turning them into our enemies? And they didn't want to go along with that, and they lost their careers for it. So we're seeing a replay of all of that right now. And nothing ever came of the Red Scare or the commie menace. It's propaganda to sell you a new world war. Don't buy into it. Look at what nations are doing, not what they're saying. If you're looking for some kind of guidance, what the future is going to bring. We'll be here, and we're talking about the Russophobia. Oh, Russia's responsible for everything. Even Theresa May is out there invoking Russia because she's in serious political trouble. There's even talk that her coalition government may collapse, leading to new elections and everything. And so May is out there saying, well, why are you bothering about what we're doing here? Russia is the chief threat. Russia is the threat. And went on to say that Russia is using fake news and cyber espionage to sow the discord in the West. No, Teresa, it is the mismanagement of the Western governments in managing their economy and their immigration and the push to globalism that is sowing discord in the West, and Russia's got nothing to do with it. I mean, this, 2 days ago my toilet started leaking. It must be the Russians. The Russians came in and made my toilet leak, and I hereby demand Vladimir Putin install a new fill valve for me, or it will mean war. Actually, Vlad, you're off the hook. I installed a new fill valve this morning. But, I mean, that's how ridiculous it's getting. Oh, I burned the dinner. Must be the fault of Russia. They used a space-based ray gun to just cause your souffle to fall. It's really bizarre. And everybody sees this rush to war and confrontation. And again, for those of you who are my age, who lived through the Cold War, the 1950s and the 1960s, nothing ever came of it. It was just huge amounts of money being harvested from the American people and the Russian people and poured all over the people who build weapons and build walls. And just, it was a huge cost, and nothing ever happened. The only time we came close to an actual war was the Cuban Missile Crisis. And that was triggered by the Bay of Pigs invasion. If our government would simply learn to mind its own business, take care of this country instead of meddling with every other country on earth, we'd have a lot more peace and prosperity in this world. Now, as you know, going all the way back to Reagan, we had the Strategic Defense Initiative, sometimes called Star Wars, and a lot of it really never worked. And it was a hugely expensive undertaking. During the 12 years of Reagan Bush Sr., the U.S. went from being the world's largest creditor nation to the world's largest debtor nation. That was the beginning of the decline of the American economy all the way back then. But there is still, the U.S. has this missile defense system, which is of dubious quality to begin with. Every time they have a test, they put a homing beacon on the target. They miss maybe 3 out of 5 times that they try with this thing. And that's knowing where the target, where the incoming threat is coming from and what path it's going to be following. But right now, the Russians are going to establish a new Navy base in the Kuril Islands, which will change the structure of the Russian nuclear, you'll pardon the expression, threat. And it will basically mean the U.S. missile defense system is going to be useless in terms of missiles coming from that direction. And let's not kid ourselves. Russia has now deployed maneuverable reentry vehicles. And that means they're going to be impossible to hit by America's missile defense system, which counts on a predictable ballistic inbound target. We'll be back.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.